right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. We need to go ahead and we'll begin this morning. I'm going to once again kind of veer off a little bit from our lesson book. We're going to be in the book of Genesis again, Genesis chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39. And I think I'll finish up maybe a little bit of something I began back several weeks ago. We've been for the past few weeks, or I don't know, this may be the third or fourth week, I've kind of steered away and kind of gone into a little bit more of a study about the life of Joseph, and we'll kind of sum a few things up this morning about him. I'm very amazed at the life of Joseph, very interesting person to study about and to really kind of dig a little deeper into his life. To find someone as special as Joseph in life, we have to kind of remind ourselves that Joseph was just as human as all of us, and yet he went through so many times in life where disappointment comes to him, trials and testings comes in his life, and major obstacles in life, but yet he just seems to always overcome those and still make steps forward in his life. And then, of course, we know about the blessings that God gives in his life and rewards him for that. And we're going to kind of continue a little bit with that thought this morning and a few points that I've kind of jotted down. And we'll finish that up this morning. A little bit about Joseph this morning in his life. We'll pray as we always do. We'll ask for God's blessings. And let's begin and start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We once again come to this place. And Lord, we once again ask for your blessings upon all that's said and done here today. We ask, Lord, for your blessing. We ask, Lord, that you speak. We ask, Lord, that you work in our life this morning. And God, we come with an open heart, an open mind, an open will to you for you to work. We ask for you to work. We ask, Lord, that you would, change us today and make us into all that you would have us to be. We do pray, Lord, this morning. No doubt there are many people this morning who have needs. And, Lord, we're a needy people. And we ask, Lord, that you would help supply the needs of your people this morning. Lord, I don't know what all the needs may be. I don't know what all the prayer requests may be in the life of each person that's here this morning. But, God, you know those needs. And we ask, Lord, that you answer the prayers of your people this morning. We pray that your will would be done. We pray, Lord, that we would always accept your will. And, God, we do pray for the week that lies ahead. We pray, Lord, for your blessings upon the week. We ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, work in and through our life this week, that we could make a difference in this world and in this life that we live in. And God, help us to understand the purpose and the reason that you have us here, and that's to love you and to serve you. And God, I pray that you'll help us daily this week to, may it be a constant reminder in our life that there's a purpose of why we're here. And it's not just to go to work today or to accomplish what we may have on our schedule for the day, but God, our purpose in life is to accomplish your will and help us to do that this week. We do pray, Lord, for the lost this morning, those that need to be saved. We pray that, Lord, once again, that they would see their need of salvation. And God, we also ask once again that you would use us to be a good witness and testimony to those that we know of in life that are without you. We pray now that you bless the service this morning, the preaching of your word, and the service tonight, and the preaching of your word, for your blessings upon that. We pray for our missionaries and how special they are and what a big part they are of our ministry. And we just pray, Lord, that you would bless them today and supply their needs and give them fruit for their labors once again. We love you. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 39, Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to jump around just a little bit this morning in a few chapters here towards the end of the book of Genesis as we kind of once again take a quick look into the life of Joseph. I've already mentioned this morning that I am amazed at the life of Joseph. There's much in the Bible about him. And you have to constantly remind yourself that he's just a human being used of God. Now, there's some key factors in the life of Joseph that I think can lead us to understand why God uses him in the manner that he uses him. But boy, you take the life of Joseph. For instance, we'll read. Let me read some verses here. Let's go to chapter 39 of Genesis, and I'm going to skip down through the chapter. But you'll find in this chapter, Joseph The chapter starts off good. You'll find that things are going well in the life of Joseph. But in this chapter, this is the chapter where Potiphar's wife is going to falsely accuse Joseph. And because of that, you'll find that Joseph's master becomes very, very angry and actually puts Joseph in prison. So even though the chapter starts well for Joseph, it's not a very friendly chapter to Joseph. You'll find that yet once again, the life of Joseph is going to take another turn. He's going to have to endure another trial. You'll find that there's yet another obstacle in his life, yet there is another mountain he must climb. There is yet another test for him to go through. And yet Joseph continues to go forward in his life. Now, there are so many key elements that we can find in the life of Joseph that can help us in our daily life as we live here on this earth and we face trials and testings and problems and heartaches and disappointments and depression and discouragement, and all those are found in this chapter. So what is it? What is it? What's the key? You ever heard people, you know, what's the key? What's the key to success? What's the key to your life? What makes you stay happy all the time? You know, people are always looking for answers, and even in the book here of Genesis, you can find some of the key areas of the life of Joseph that you can look at and say, now I can kind of understand why he always came out on topside. I mean, what a life. I mean, what a life of discouragement. What a life of, you know, finally you get back on your feet and things start going well in life and things get better in life. And then lo and behold, carpet's pulled out from underneath him once again, or the rug is pulled out from underneath him once again, and he falls and has to go back through an uphill battle. And in the life of Joseph, you'll find most days in the life of Joseph was an uphill battle all the time. Life didn't come easy for Joseph, even though he found much success in life, but you cannot help but realize and understand that life for Joseph was a pretty much an uphill battle most of his life. And that's what life is. Life is going to be an uphill battle. I'm not promising you that this next week's going to be easy for us this next week. But we'll find here some key elements in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to begin reading down in verse number 9. You'll find that it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife. So the wife lies about Joseph. I mean, all out lie. There's no truth to her story here in verse number 19. And then it goes on to say in the middle of verse 19 here, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. So his master becomes extremely upset with Joseph because he feels like Joseph made a pass at his wife. She falsely accuses him. The story that she gives is a false story unto her husband. But we find at the end of verse number 19 here that he's very upset. I mean, the master's upset. He's mad at Joseph. And in verse number 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Once again, life is unfair to Joseph. There's nothing fair about what's happening to him. He makes the right choice. And basically says in verse number 9 to the wife, you know, he can't do that with her. I mean, it would be a sin against God in verse number 9. So Joseph, because he makes the right choice in life, yet once again finds himself suffering because of making a good choice in life. And we find here that he is put into prison in verse number 20. Now, verse 21 will be one of our key verses for this morning. We're going to come back to this verse a few times. Verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy,
and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So no matter where Joseph ends up in life, even though there's a lot of negative things happening in his life, we find that God is still at work in his life. We're going to come back to that several times this morning. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. He actually, as a prisoner, was promoted to a position where he was actually over other prisoners. Now, he's a prisoner, but yet he's over other prisoners because the keeper of the prison even realized, you know, there's something about this guy, Joseph. I mean, there's something special about him. There's just something, I mean, you can depend on him. You can trust him. He's trustworthy. I can actually put other prisoners in his care. And I don't even have to worry about it, the keeper says of the prison here. And then he goes on and says at the end of verse 22 it says, and whatsoever he did there, he was the doer of it. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. That last little phrase is very important as well. The Lord made it. You got to realize it's not Joseph, it's the Lord. And it's the Lord that's doing the work in the life of Joseph as he goes through these difficult days. Now, I'm going to go back to the beginning of chapter 39 of Genesis here. And you're going to find here several statements that are very key for our understanding this morning. It is a dark day in the life of Joseph. It is a depressing day in the life of Joseph. It is a dark day in the life of Joseph because he is falsely accused once again, and off to prison he goes. Now, look, if you would, I've underlined several statements, and I think this is the key of the chapter here. You'll find in verse number 2, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. It's not the only time. You'll find in verse number 2 that it also says, and he was a prosperous man. You'll find in verse number 3, the same phrase, the Lord was with him. You'll find in verse number 3 the word prosper in his hand at the end of the verse as well. Verse number 5, in the middle of the verse, the Lord blessed, you'll find here. The end of verse number 5, the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had. You find down in verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23, towards the end of the verse, the Lord was with him. You know, I kind of have an idea that God wants us to understand in this chapter that the Lord was with him. Over and over, God, in God's word, we find the statement, the Lord was with him. Now, that's key. Now, there's many days that we live and things don't go the way we want them to in life, but we have to always have an understanding in our minds this morning that no matter what we may face today, the Lord is with us. You'll find in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. You'll find here that God is extremely good to Joseph. Do you see that? Now, life's not too good to him, but God is. You know, it is possible to live in life where life doesn't go well and life mistreats us, but you can mark it down, God always treats you right. Life may not, but God does. Look at verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. I mean, we could just stop right there. That's the end of it right there. That's all we need to know. Does it mean he doesn't go to prison? Doesn't mean that at all. Joseph still goes to prison. May I remind you, food probably wasn't too good there. I don't imagine the sleeping accommodations were very comfortable where he had to sleep every night. It's not that he's not uncomfortable. It's not that life isn't unfair. It's not that he doesn't have to go to prison. It's not that he doesn't have to eat the prisoner's food. It's not that he doesn't have to sleep with prisoners. And it's not that he has the best bed in all the world. But the key here is God is with him. And it's amazing in verse 21, and showed him mercy while he is in prison. See, we have a distorted view sometimes about God showing mercy upon us because sometimes we have this idea in our minds that when God shows me mercy, It means it takes all my problems away. He still got problems. But God's with him, and God shows him mercy. And not only that, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. God's still blessing. But you have to understand where God's blessing him at. He's still in prison. Do you see that this morning? It's not that he doesn't have problems. He's got problems. It's not that life was easy. You have to realize he's living in prison. It's not that he's got the best environment around him. I mean, you have to realize he's in prison with criminals for actually making a right choice and doing the right thing, but yet we find here the Lord was with him, and all throughout the chapter here, in chapter 39, that statement is over and over and over, the Lord was with him. I think God has to put it in there so many times to remind us that even though he's going through a difficult day, it doesn't mean God's not with him. You're going to have some bad days. We are going to have trials. We are going to have difficulties. We're going to have heartaches. We're going to have heartbreaks in life. But it does not mean that God is not with us. Yet we find here God was with him in verse number 21. God was with Joseph. And there's some key elements that I think that you have to understand in this chapter here. And it's not just in this chapter, but I want to start by saying this a little bit. It's obvious that he was falsely accused. It's obvious that his master's mad at him. It's obvious that he goes to prison. And there's a lot of other things that we can look at here, but I will have to make this statement, and then we're going to move past this here in just a moment. But my first thought is, that in the life, what makes Joseph different than the average person? I mean, what is it that makes him so successful? How is it that he just seems like, yet no matter what's thrown at him in life, he always seems to accomplish and overcome that obstacle and actually make him better and goes to greater and bigger and larger things in life? What is it in his life? And I think first of all and foremost, we have to remind ourselves that Joseph has enough faith to at least make another step forward. You look at the life of Joseph, he always goes forward. He never goes backwards. The average Christian, let's be honest, and probably maybe I would throw myself in this category as well, would be very, very tempted to just to throw in the towel and quit on God. Now we know according to Scripture, in Luke chapter 17, and if you want to turn over there and look at it, that's fine, but in Luke chapter 17 in verse number 6, the Bible describes unto us about faith that if we just had enough faith the size of a what? Does anybody remember what it is? A what? A mustard seed. Now, you've heard a million times preachers preach on the mustard seed and the size of it. It is an extremely small seed. And in Luke chapter 17, the Bible tells us that if you just had enough faith, the size of a mustard seed. Now, in that verse, the Bible tells us that if you had enough faith, the size of a mustard seed, which to me is not very much, that you could actually take an uprooted tree and throw it into the sea. Is that what the Bible tells us? I'm kind of paraphrasing here a little bit, but that's what the Bible describes. It tells us that this faith, the size of a mustard seed, that if you had that kind of faith, that you could actually tell a tree to uproot itself and throw it into the sea. Now, may I ask you this morning, is there anybody in this room that you prayed or you went and you looked at a tree and you prayed and asked God to uproot it and throw it in the sea and that tree uprooted on its own and just cast off? Has anybody ever accomplished that? Not many, if any. Why? Because in many cases, and I realize in life there's a lot of application there talking about faith, but let's be honest this morning. The reason we fail a lot of times in life and we don't overcome the obstacles of life and we fall prey to quitting and throwing in the towel is because our faith is not what it ought to be. Does anybody remember when you were a child? Has anybody ever had anybody read you the story about the little engine that could? Anybody remember that story? Raise your hand. Anybody? One of my favorite stories when I was a child. The little engine that
couldn't. Is that what it was? Little engine that what? Come on, y'all help me out. Little engine that could what? He could. You remember that? He gets up to that when he finally makes it over the hill. Do you remember the little story? He kept telling himself something. Somebody remember what it was? I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. You're one of the best stories in all the world. It's a little silly to us as adults and so forth, but there's actually a lot of truth to that little story. I can still see that little book I can remember as a child that little book. I can still see the cover of that little engine that could. It had a little face on the front, and it was, you know, very, very juvenile. I understand that, but he finally gets over that hill. And the reason he got over the hill is he, guess what? He finally realized, I can do this. Now, if that little engine gets to the hill and says, I don't think I can, I don't think I can, guess what's going to happen? You're not. And we want to be that kind of an engine, but you know what I find so many times in life? I'm a little bit more like the big locomotives. Remember the other trains and so forth and the big engines and so forth? I'm a little bit like them. I can't do it because I don't think I can do it. Do you know why we don't accomplish so many great things in our Christian life? It's because we don't think we can. The reason we don't accomplish a lot of great things and big things, if you want to call it that, in life for God is because we don't have enough faith that we can actually accomplish it. We're not the little engine that says, I think I can, I think I can, because we're disappointed in life and we think we can't do it and we don't have enough faith that God can do it. And when you don't have enough faith that God can work through you and accomplish it, you're not going to reach the hilltop. But Joseph was the type of guy that every time he faced an obstacle in life, he was like that little engine that could and says, I think I can. I think I can. You throw me in prison, I think I can succeed. You falsely accuse me, I think I can accomplish great things. You've put me in the pit, I think I can get out of the pit. You sell me into slavery, I think I can overcome this. Joseph always had a positive outlook. He always took a step forward because he had at least enough faith that, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll still take another step forward. You'll find in Genesis chapter 39, we'll stay here. We're going to jump here in a minute to a few other chapters, but I think one of the other keys in the life of Joseph, it's not only did he have at least enough faith. Now, I don't know how big his faith was. We don't know. I have no idea how big or small your faith is. You have no idea how big or small my faith may be in life. But I do know this about Joseph. He at least had enough faith that he's going to get up the next day and he's not going to quit on God and he's going to take another step forward. And this is another thing I want us to look at here. Joseph knew how to overcome disappointments. If anybody knew disappointments in life, it was Joseph. He had nobody to turn to but God. He couldn't run to his brothers. You remember back, we studied this several weeks ago. Joseph's brothers, they did what? They sold him. They hated him. Some of them even wanted to kill him. Can't run to my brothers. Joseph had nobody to turn to. Joseph didn't have a good church to go to on a Sunday morning and say, would y'all please pray for me? In fact, in chapter 39, where is Joseph? Joseph is in prison. I doubt prison is full of a bunch of choir boys. Not a whole lot of people there that he can confide in and get good spiritual guiding and leading in his life. But how is it that Joseph can take yet, in chapter 39 here, another disappointment in life and figure out a way to get around it or accomplish it or overtake it or overcome it in life? One thing about Joseph never gave in. Joseph kept showing up day in and day out. You put me in prison, guess what? I'll do the best I can in prison.
You put me in my master's household, I'll do my best for him as well. No matter where you put Joseph in life, he always strives day in and day out to go another step forward, and he's promoted. It's amazing here that even in prison, he's promoted. You see, promotions don't go to the one who throws in the towel and quits on God. But so many people today, the answer, when problems come, their first reaction is just quit on God. The average Christian today, if life doesn't go well and the problems come and trials and testings, the first thing you do, you stop praying. You stop going to church. You throw in the towel. You quit on God. That's the answer, and that's not the answer this morning. And one of the things about the life of Joseph, he never quits on God. He somehow finds a way to make another step forward. He has at least enough faith to realize that if I can, going backwards not the answer. I mean, I've got to make a step forward no matter where I'm at, whether I'm on top of the mountain or if I'm in the valley, whether I'm in a palace or whether I'm in a prison. Each day in, each day out, Joseph takes a step forward. He stays positive. He learns how to overcome the discouragements in life. And he never quits on God. He always goes forward. It's amazing. You study, and there's so much we could look at in the life of Joseph. You study the life of Joseph, you'll always find, no matter what life throws at him, he always finds a way to go forward. The pit was no obstacle for the life of Joseph. Sold him into slavery didn't stop him. Falsely accusing him in prison doesn't stop him. And even while he's in prison, remember how the cupbearer even forgets about him. What is it, 2 years he spends in prison because his best friend in prison forgets about him when he gets out? Seems like nobody cares. Nobody remembers him. Nobody knows the suffering that Joseph is going through, but yet Joseph never looked at it that way. Joseph always finds a way to make a step forward in his life. You see, I think the whole key here is that, look at verse number 21. Well, we could go back, I could say verse 2, it says the Lord was with him. I find in verse number 3, the Lord was with him. You'll find in verse number 5, the Lord blessed him in verse number 5. Verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23, the Lord was with him. You see, I think one of the keys here is Joseph stayed close to God, and guess what happens? God stays close to him. The obstacle, the prison doesn't drive him away from God. I could maybe easily say this morning, the prison experience drives him closer to God. He knows and understands that he can't allow these problems to drive him away from God. They drive him closer to God. I mean, can you imagine going through disappointment after disappointment, and I mean, so many lies and made against Joseph in his life, and all the mistreatment that comes in. I mean, like I said a few weeks ago, I mean, if anybody had the right to say life wasn't fair, it's Joseph. Let me tell you why, because life isn't fair in the life of Joseph. But we know according to Scripture that, and we make this statement all the time, but, you know, God had a plan all along. And that's easy to say today when things are going well, but that's not easy to say when things aren't going well. He learned how to overcome disappointments in life. Quitting's not the answer. Now, I dare say this morning, there's not a soul in this room this morning that hasn't had some times in life where the thought entered your mind, quitting is the answer. I thought, Brother Yandel, have you ever went to school someday and you leave that day thinking, you know, I think I'd just like to quit today. Every Monday, I understand. Have you ever had days in your life, Brother R., where you thought, you know what I like to, I'll speak for myself. There's been times where I thought the best thing to do is walk out the front door and slam it and never come back. You know why? Discouragement. Problems. Trials. Uphill battles. Heartbreak. Discouragement. depression, whatever you want to label it as, there's not a soul in this room that hasn't faced it sometime in life. Now, there may be a little something different about us this morning, because I would dare say this morning, looking around in this room, this is pretty well a group that decided, it's not that we don't have problems, we just decided quitting's not the answer. But I'm going to be honest with you, there's a whole lot of people that have sat in these pews before, and they left one day thinking the answer was quitting on God. But you don't make it to the destination as Joseph does if you're going to throw in the towel. There's a lot of disappointed, discouraged people in life this morning, and they're never going to find true happiness in life because they threw in the towel and quit on God, and that is not the answer. There's not a soul in this room this morning that doesn't have some degree of problems in this life. We all have problems. Now, I dare say this morning, there are probably some people in this room that have more serious problems than what I have this morning. Now, there's going to come a day when my problems are more serious than maybe what you all have this morning, but we're all going to face problems no matter how large or how small they may be. We have discouragement, problems, and trials in life, but we have to understand this morning, quitting is not the answer. It never has been, and it's not going to be next week either. And Joseph always finds a way to overcome discouragement. Now, it's interesting here in this chapter here that we find in verse number 21, and the Lord was with Joseph, and you'll find here that it says here in verse 21, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper. You'll find that he also shows him mercy in verse number 21. So in his dark day, God is going to give him some things that he's going to need to succeed in life. He's going to give him two things according to Scripture in verse number 21. He's going to give him favor, and he's also going to give him mercy. When you really think about it in life, that's all you're going to need anyway. The mercy of God and the favor or the blessings of God. And because of that, we're going to find that the keeper of the prison is impressed with Joseph. In return, Joseph is going to get a special place or position in the prison. Now, I'm not saying it's a palace. I'm not saying it's the best accommodations in all the world, but he's on the up and up. You'll find that he becomes very successful, and actually, you know, you read the end of Genesis, and he becomes extremely, extremely successful in God's blessings in his life. But we find in verse number 21 that while he is in prison, that God is going to give him and show him mercy, and is going to give him favor in the sight in the keeper of the prison. Now, may I say this morning that when he no doubt had to be fleshly tempted, if you would, to quit, Joseph decides that, you know what, I think I'll do. I'll get up and I think I'll go another day and I'll do what I've always done, and I'll stay faithful to God and true to God and make another step forward. And that's what Joseph does. And you're going to find here that he's very, very blessed with God's blessings on him. Now, he has no idea what the future holds. You know, I'll use an illustration this way. I have not found a way to Google God's plans for my life and get an answer. Now, I've Googled a lot of things in life. Have you? I mean, you need to know something? What do? I Google it. I mean, you know, you can get the answer for anything. They may not all be true, but you're going to get an answer for anything. Any question you have in life, you can Google it and get an answer. Right? Try Googling God's plan for your life. You're not going to get an answer. Doesn't work that way. You don't know what God's going to bring in your life tomorrow. Even though Joseph was faced with disappointments in life, Joseph remained close to the Lord. We find here that God was close to him in verse number 2, 3, 5, 21, 23. And I'm not saying that he's not close to him in the other verses here, but it just makes the statement over and over, reminding us of how close God was with Joseph and how Joseph was close to God. One of the key elements here is that Joseph always knew
God was at work. Go over to chapter 41. I got to hurry. I'm way behind here. Let me go over to chapter 41 and look at a verse here real quickly. He acknowledges Joseph is going to make a statement to Pharaoh. It's not me. It's God. Chapter 41, look at verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, you ought to highlight this, it is not in me. What's he saying? Joseph's saying, it's not me. The end of verse 16, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh, it's not me. It's not me. It's not Joseph that's going to give the answer. Joseph acknowledges here that it's God. It's God at work. And that verse 16 is very key to me because it reminds me and it makes me understand a little bit of the mind thought of Joseph, that even Joseph acknowledged that, guess what? God's at work in my life. This is very, very key to me in my life. You have to understand that Joseph, one of the key reasons Joseph succeeds in life is because Joseph understood the thought that no matter the bad things going on in my life, God is still at work. Now, here's where we're wrong. Here's where I'm wrong. When life is going very well, and I'm doing well in life, I mean, things are just clicking along and just happening in life, and boy, it's exciting, and I mean, life is easier, and life is blessed, and boy, things are very good in my life. It's easy for me to say, boy, God is at work in my life. But how many times have we had a day, you ever had days where everything falls apart? Nothing goes right. You ever heard the statement, I should have stayed in bed this morning? Because everything I've touched fell apart. I've had many days like that where I've come home and told Patty, everything I've touched I've had to work on today. It's like I'm cursed. Don't let me do anything around the house because if I set in it, touch it, or get around it, it's going to fall apart. That's been my whole day. Nothing's right. You ever had days where everything, all the news you've gotten in your life was bad news? And when you're in that kind of a day and you end your day with a day that like that and all the thoughts of all your problems and all your troubles and all your worries are just flooding in your mind and you thought, boy, God's at work today. I don't ever look at it that way. My flesh usually would say this statement, boy, the devil's been working hard today. Have you ever thought about this? The reason I had problems all day long was because God was at work. You ever thought about it that way? See, we don't ever look at troubles in life as a blessing from God. We look at troubles and problems and things falling apart, things breaking down, things don't go well. I mean, you got trouble at work, and I mean, it's just been a disappointing day. It's been a discouraging day. It's been a horrible day. See, we always look and think, boy, the devil's really working hard. You know, it could be maybe God's working a little bit today. Do you not see in the life of Joseph that even in the prison, God makes the statement over and over and over and over, God, the Lord was with him in the prison. God was with him when he was falsely accused. God was working in his life when his master's wife lied about him. And I'm not saying this morning that every problem we have is because of a blessing. Sometimes it's because we're being maybe chastised by the Lord, and I understand that. But I just believe this morning there are times in my life when I have problems because God wants them there. Do you know why he's in prison? Because God wants him in prison. God didn't dump him there and leave him and forsake him. The Bible tells me that when he's in prison, God's with him. Was it not in prison in verse 21 where the Bible tells me that God gave him mercy?
Here's a thought. Maybe he doesn't get that mercy if he doesn't go to the prison. Is it not in verse 21? Do we not find back what chapter? In chapter 39, verse 41, is it not in verse 21 where it says, "And God gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison"? Could it be this morning that if he doesn't go to prison, he doesn't get that favor of God? I think I've been wrong many times in my life where I've looked at my day and thought, my, so what a mess. But I never look at it and think, my, isn't today a good day? Boy, God's been at work. Everything I've touched today fell apart. I mean, I faced some battles today. They're unbelievable. I mean, it's been uphill since when my foot hit the floor this morning. It was an uphill battle all day long, and boy, God's at work. Hey, I think we're so wrong sometimes in thinking God's only at work when things are going good. I've got news for you. God's at work when things aren't going good. Well, God's at work. Boy, I got a pay raise today. You know, God was at work when you didn't get the pay raise too. Boy, I went to the doctor today and I got a good report. Boy, God is at work in my life. I got news for you. You can go to the doctor and get a bad report, and God's still at work. You see, we just got a distorted view of the working of God. You know, God sometimes uses some what we call bad things in life. God's actually using them for our own good. Are y'all with me this morning? Is anybody awake? Am I here all by myself? I've got news for you. It's sad to say, but there's a lot of times I'm afraid I look at my day and think more negative than I do positive most of the time. You know why? Because I want everything to work perfect. But you know what? Sometimes I go outside, you know what? There's a flat tire on the automobile. Or, you know, whatever my day may entail and so forth, but isn't it sad, and I'm admitting this morning that so often I'll look at my day and I'll look at it in a negative light, a lot more so than I do in a positive light, when I ought to look at my day and say, you know what, my life was full of a lot of problems today. Boy, God's doing something great. Because I have found it to be very, very true. I learn a whole lot more through the dark days than I do the good days. Joseph in chapter 41 and verse 16, he acknowledges here that God was at work in his life. You know, negative things in life do not have to lead to a negative outcome. Just because you have problems today doesn't mean that there can't be some good that comes of it. And then we go to chapter 50, and I'll close here just a second here. In chapter 50, I think I read this. I can't remember if I didn't go back in my notes to look, and I think we read this verse the other day, but I got to skip past a few things and get to chapter 50 here. You have to understand and acknowledge. I must understand this thought this morning that God will allow people, problems, situations in life to accomplish His will. In chapter 50 here, you'll find that the all-famous verse is verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto what? Meant it unto good. Very famous verse. Probably the most misunderstood or most lived verse maybe in the Bible. Because we think when there's a lot of problems today, it's not been a good day. Here's one key thing, one of the keyest elements in the life of Joseph. Joseph understood that life's not fair. I have been greatly abused, lied about, cheated, stolen from in life, hated by my own family. And everything that happened in life, in verse number 20, he said, you thought it evil. You meant it for bad. He acknowledges, you know what? The world has done its very best to mistreat him in life. And the world has succeeded at that. But he also acknowledges in verse number 20, but God
meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph said it, God was at work through the whole time. Now, I didn't quite understand it. I didn't like it. I didn't know why I had to go through all those things. But Joseph says here that we would have never gotten to that day where he could be used of God to help save much people, as he says here, if he didn't go through all those things that the world declared as bad. See, we don't like this statement, but there are going to be bad days in life that we need. It's for our own good. Have you ever gotten in trouble as a child and you were getting spanked maybe for doing something wrong and your parent says, this is for your own good? Now, I didn't understand that as a child. I didn't see anything good about being spanked. Now, when I was young, we didn't get time out in the corner. See, my parents were very abusive in life. Their key verse in life was, guess what it was? Spare the rod, spoil the child. And believe me, they did not spare the rod. And I'm not saying, I'm just joking a little bit. My parents were very, very loving parents, and they weren't abusive to me in any kind of way, but I got many spankings in life. When I was in fourth grade, I held the record. I had more paddlings in school than anybody else in that class. It was a rough life when I was in fourth grade. And you know what? I've been messed up ever since. I'm distorted. My mind's all messed up because, you know what? I got a spanking when I was a child. But I remember the statement, this is for your own good. And you know what? It was for my own good. And there's going to be days that things go wrong. Everything falls apart. Things go horrible at work. You don't get the promotion, that other guy or that other lady got the promotion or whatever is going on in your life. You may look at it today and think, it's a miserable life. I mean, life, this past week's been horrible. Everywhere I've been this past week, and ask my wife. Went to Walmart the other day, and you can't even check out. Oh, it's so hot. It's so miserable outside. It's so hot. You can't hardly live. We're all going to die. You been that way this week? Do you know why it was hot? Because God made it hot. Do you know why you've got problems in life? There may be times that God wants that problem in your life. You know what God's saying? It's for your own good. Joseph acknowledges in chapter 50 here, verse number 20, he says, but as for you, he said, here's where you're at. You thought it bad. You tried. Was it bad? Sure it was. When he got stripped of his coat of many colors, he was thrown into the pit. He was sold into slavery. Went to prison, falsely accused. He had people lie about him. His brothers hated him. I mean, if anybody in life had a life completely messed up, it was Joseph. And life, he not life meant it for bad. But God meant it for good. So the bad day may not really be a bad day. It may actually be a good day. Because God is at work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for... Lord, it's hard to say sometimes, but God, thank you for even some of the problems, or maybe all the problems we have in life. And thank you, Lord, for even difficult days. And God, may we realize and be like Joseph and step back and look at it and acknowledge that it's for our own good. You're teaching. You're molding us. You're making us through those difficult, trying days. And God, may we acknowledge this morning that there are many bad days that maybe we classify them as bad, but Lord, they're not really a bad day at all. They're a good day because we've learned much through the trials and the testings and the problems and the uphill battles that we face. God, may you mold us, make us into what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.